It's the Afternoon Cruise. Thank you for being here on Jazz 88. We're going to listen to some music from Cornbread Harris because Cornbread Harris is the subject of this new book from my guest, Andrea Swenson, which is called Deeper Blues, The Life, Songs, and Salvation of Cornbread Harris. We'll also be hearing from Yua Vang, the vice president of Ramsey County Historical Society, who is part of the folks who are putting this event on, finding out a little bit about the event and also Yua's reflections on this beautiful book, of which I am currently in chapter 5, and I am hanging with bated breath to see what else can happen in Cornbread Harris's life, as he's already been through a lot, and I think basically chronologically we're in like maybe 1957, 19—we saw the recording of that James Bonner track, I guess. Andrea Swenson, heck of a good book. I'm really enjoying it. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's wonderful to be in a radio booth with you again, Sean.
Well, listen, you're no stranger to this booth. We were like, do we have to get her a parking spot? Because she's been here a
couple. I mean, why don't you?
Well, you know what? You've been making fantastic content, and I'm enjoying this book immensely. I've been a part of the Minnesota music scene as a fan, as a player, as a radio broadcaster for well over 20 years. So I was no stranger to the art of Cornbread Harris, but I was a real stranger to the story of his life because I think he's a man who leads with the present, and he's a man who leads with optimism. You got in the microfiche and found out a lot of what happened in the man's life and basically showed it back to him.
Yes.
And this, and don't be worried about the vacuum cleaner. That's just, we're just, Mario's just keeping things clean out there. My question for you, what was it like to, in some ways, tell a very grown man his own story?
The entire experience has been just so humbling, and it's really an honor. To be trusted to hold the pen when telling someone else's life story. But there were for sure moments where, you know, I was digging out his old yearbook photo and saying, Cornbread, look, here's you holding
you
a tuba. And he went,
tuba?
And then by the next week he said, you know what? I think when I played the tuba, it taught me how to get that low end going on the piano. And he goes, it was all back to the tuba, baby.
Well, I mean, the way you weave this story and frankly, the way that he weaves the story, because I mean, it feels like 30% of the book is his dialogue and just a bunch of like, hey, here's what's going on. And I think that's very well how it should be. It's amazing. It got me more interested in the back musical story of Cornbread Harris. So before we really get to yapping, which we are both quite capable of doing, I want to play a little bit of this music. You made kind of a discovery. It was well known that Cornbread Harris was a part of Augie Garcia's recordings and the first recording of a rock and roll band in Minnesota. But on top of that, you figured out that actually on the B side, he's like carrying the lead vocal.
He is. And it took me a few times through to figure this out. And I had really been listening to a lot of his music from throughout his whole life. And so I was getting really familiar with his voice and the way it had changed over time. And I went to visit him one week and I said, Cornbread, is this you singing? And he went, well, yeah. Like I should have known the whole time. I'm like, we have never discussed this, but thanks for telling me.
So let's visit this tune. It's called Going to Chicago from the Augie Garcia Quintet. Mid-50s, is that about right?
1955.
That's very mid-50s, 1955. We're going to check this tune out. We're going to keep on talking with Andrea Swenson as well as Yua Vang to find out about this really exciting book and this event that's coming up on September 12th. Here's a young Cornbread Harris carrying the lead with the Augie Garcia Quintet. And that's the sound of the, I guess, second rock and roll recording in Minnesota history. Augie Garcia Quintet, the B-side to Hi-Ho Silver.
That's right.
All right. And I am hanging with Andrea Swenson, who has a book about the keyboard player from the Augie Garcia Quintet and, in particular, the lead vocalist on that tune, Mr. Cornbread Harris. We'll be having a conversation in full with Andrea Swenson and Yua Vang, who is from Ramsey County Historical Society, in about 5 minutes, but I wanted to play another tune from Cornbread Harris's catalog, this tune that is the title of the book by Andrea Swenson, Deeper Blues. And Andrea, I'm realizing how deep these blues are, only 5 chapters in, and I thought I was going to ask you a question. You cool if I just press play on this tune and we get a little Cornbread going?
Yeah. All right.
And it is the Afternoon Cruise here on Jazz 88. We have been chatting with Andrea Swenson, who is the author of Deeper Blues, The Life, Songs, and Salvation of Cornbread Harris. There's an event going on related to the release of this book. Thursday, September 12th, Andrea is going to be support for a reading, an appearance from Cornbread Harris, the book's subject, and a book signing. And it's part of Ramsey County Historical Society's History Revealed series. And speaking of being a part of Ramsey County Historical Society, I am here with the VP, the vice president, and also an incredible asset in the Twin Cities music scene and somebody whose writing I've been a fan of for eons. She's in the building. Yua Vang, thank you for being here. How are you feeling today?
I'm good. Thanks, Sean.
Yua Vang, can you tell me a little bit about this History Revealed event that's happening on September 12th with Andrea Swenson?
Yeah, I'm really excited because it's just to highlight Andrea's book, to talk about it's centered around that and more around the book itself than the music, which is important as well. And I'm really excited because some people know this, but I started my writing career as Andrea's intern at City Pages many years ago. So like she's my mentor, and to be able to read this story was just so special to me. And I texted her on Friday when I finished the book. I'm like, you made me cry in a good way. But I was like, everything about the book is about love. And I think about that too, like the absence of love, the seeking of love, you know, giving of love. And you're so giving for everything too. And so I think it's just a joy to be able to read it.
Wow. Yeah. Now, Andrea, as somebody who has not only been mentored by a lot of great people, but has mentored a lot of great people, let's get your temperature. How's it feel to have you, Evang, feeling good about your writing in that whole situation?
There have been so many tears shed this week for me. Friday night was the, you know, big book launch, and there was a lot of tears there. And then to be here with you is very meaningful to me. And there's just something about Cornbread, honestly. I think it brings it out of people. He is such a sincere person, and he is such a loving and giving person, and has given so much to so many audiences for, you know, 7 decades now. I guess I'm not surprised that I also want to cry right now.
For folks who are not familiar with Cornbread Harris, this is a man who is still a fixture into his 90s in performances in the Twin Cities. Plays at the Hook and Ladder, plays at Palmer's, and he's somebody who you mentioned in the book had already had a 66-year recording span from the first time he started working, and he's still staying positive. And even if you have never heard Cornbread Harris's music, you have heard his fingerprints on the legacy of Minnesota music, and that's for sure. I imagine that's something you'll underline on September 12th. Andrea, you had just talked about this book being about love. A big thing I pick up within that subject is blessings. This is a man who constantly reminds you and the audience how blessed he is.
Yes.
Yet he's somebody who lost his children, or lost his parents, spent time in the foster system, spent a long time struggling to be connected with his son, Jimmy Jam, the famous music producer. He's lived an unexplainably harder life than I have, and he is more optimistic than I am. Did you ever feel like a piece of garbage where you were just like, like, why should I? Why am I crying about a hangnail and this man is like trying to keep his family together in St. Paul as a black man in 1964? And you're going, maybe the hangnail ain't that bad. Like, did it ever mess with your hierarchical understanding of yourself?
I mean, the biggest thing I took away from being around Cornbread was just joy. He has such an infectious, positive spirit about him. And it's been a hard fought outlook on life that he has found through his spirituality and through his connection to his fans, through his music. His catchphrase is, I am a blessed dude. And he says it all the time, like every other sentence some days when he's really feeling blessed. And I think for him, his belief is that if you acknowledge that you are blessed and that you have good things happening, that only opens up the possibility for more good things to happen, and it extrapolates. And the last 4 years of his life, of his 97-year-long life, have been extraordinary. I mean, he's not only reconnected with his son, Jimmy Jam is back in his life. He's been able to share the stage with his son. He's on a billboard in downtown Minneapolis right now. There's this beautiful portrait of him on the side of the Pantages. And it's like things just keep getting better for Cornbread. And he really is a blessed dude. And I believe it too now.
Well, you know what? To read the story, you know that it was a hard-fought blessing because he has had a number of uphill battles in his life. But also clearly the through line has been music, but not only music, but the tension between being a father and being a musician, being a Minnesotan and being a musician.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of times where maybe he could have slid out on the road and chose not to, but yet he still sometimes seemed to suffer the consequences, like with some of his wife being like, well, no, it's not going to work out. My question for you is to you as a writer. I'm not the writer you are remotely. And I'm curious, are you sculpting at this point where you feel like you have a block of marble and you're figuring out what can you highlight? Because I'm not going to read a 900-page book. You know, you got to make it work. Or do you feel something more like you're painting a picture? You know, how is the process where you go from going, this is an amazing story, to going, this is a serviceable edited book?
It was really hard to figure out what I wanted to do with it because I didn't know if I should be in the book or not, but it was such a personal experience. So I really struggled with that. And then I realized that there were two things happening. There was the timeline of Cornbread's life, which is now nearly a century long. And I wanted to make sure that we were tracing all of these different eras and fleshing them out. But there was also this real-time story unfolding right in front of me. You know, when I started working on this book, Cornbread had only just talked to his son for the first time in decades. And we didn't know if that was going to be a one-off thing or if they were going to, you know, actually start to have a relationship. So I realized that in order to bring people along on this journey that I went on, I had to really make them feel like they were going to be sitting alongside me as I'm talking to Cornbread at his piano bench. And once I figured that out, everything just flowed really wonderfully. It felt very natural.
It does feel natural. I imagine, as the type of writer you are, you probably hesitated going, is it best to keep myself out of this, which is more similar to your other book-length projects that I've read, like it doesn't.
Right.
I think you made the right decision because I think this is a man who is living some of his most important history right at this moment.
Yes.
So I'm really digging it. I'm in chapter 5, and I'm excited to finish it up. Finish it up as my friend Yuwa Vang has, because apparently she was in tears on Friday as she finished up this book. Yuwa, I just want to get a bigger understanding of the History Revealed series and what's happening at the Ramsey County Historical Society before we bid you to adieu.
Yeah, I'm excited because the series is more about living history, and I want to focus on that. So the Springboard event is about deeper blues, and I love it, and am excited because it's in, well, kind of between Rondo and Frogtown. So Rondo takes place in this story as well. And then RCHS has a few events that we have coming up, like a farm-to-table dinner in mid-September and Apple Fest. And then we have some walking tours through Oakland Cemetery and then a panel on architects as well, too. So, and these can all be found at our website at rchs.com. So.
Does it feel cool to be a vice president or something?
It does. Okay. Like when Kamala, I was like, you can just call me Kamala.
Yeah, I'm a fellow vice president. Yeah. All right.
Very different levels, but yes.
We're going to get to some music from the piano master Gene Harris in just a moment, but let's pass it one more time to Mr. Bob Urich for some traffic. Andrea and Yuwa, thank you so much for joining us here at Jazz 88.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Sean.